back with you. I would have liked to have taken you to California, but you would be glad to be back too. Let's have a word of prayer before we look at this important section of God's Word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the same yesterday and today and forever, tomorrow. As we sang just a little bit ago, not changeth thee. We ask you to mightily use and daily protect our co-laborers on the field. Assist the Vogels in Wyoming and the Wrights as they serve with Bibles International. We do pray that you would bless the plans of Jim and his mentor as they purpose to go this fall to Chad, that you would help them so that they can encourage those and further the work of Bible translation there. We pray that you would assist our young people going to school, whether it's one going to kindergarten, those going off to college. We have some from OSU and Bob Jones University and Otterbein students starting tomorrow, I know. And Lord, may they not only be protected in their discernment, but Lord, that you would guard them in their most holy faith and help them to be a bright testimony among those who they study with. Help the pavers as Carrie tries to determine through the doctors whether x-rays show that there is a break in the wrist or not. We encourage our shut-ins by praying for them and visiting them. And we ask, Lord, that you would strengthen them. Think of Roy and Rhonda Smith in Delaware, for Helen Norton and Joni Hammond. We pray for Nino, very much in need of our prayers, as his body has many things to fight off and many decisions that are needed for them. We pray for little Maddie Howard as she's got something going on and has been to the doctor and is now released, I believe, and they're still not sure what that is. We pray that you would help this little body to strengthen. It is our prayer collectively that you would instruct us in the way that we ought to go. Today we pray for discernment. May your Spirit, the counsel of truth who indwells within us, give us peace beyond understanding to know how precisely when something is from you and when it is not. Father, we want to be obedient to your call in our lives. We pray today for discernment, not only to make wise choices, but in the course of it, to know that we can trust your guiding hand, to know what is from you. We need wisdom and power to abstain from every form of evil. We pray for one another that our love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, that we may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. So we pray this morning that you would open our eyes to the truth found in these verses that we study together and fortify our faith against every encroachment of error and evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have, I believe, in your outline the points that we have covered so far. Patience, the key to truth, church unity, rejoicing, a mark of true faith, prayer, the Christian's reliance on God. Then we looked at thanksgiving, which is the church's praise of God. We have studied during the summer in the book of Ecclesiastes, and he is often puzzled trying to fit together things that don't seem to fit all of God's workings. And we're going to struggle with that as we go on, because we are finite, if you didn't know, and he is infinite, and we're not going to understand everything. By faith, we know that God does all things for his ultimate glory and our spiritual good, Romans tells us. There is a time to lament. There is a time to be in grief. There is a time for us to express, ready for this, how bad things are or appear to us. Your afternoon reading is Psalm 88, if you doubt me on that, where the whole psalm is struggling with how bad things are in his life. But as we saw in these sections of rejoicing and giving thanks, we can give thanks at any time for the fact that God is in control. And we talked about that there are certainly some things, many things, that are much bigger and better than our happiness, but nothing that is more important than your joy. How about that? So we move to this next section, and we're going to call it discernment, the duty of every believer. Most people that I know, probably Christian and non-Christian, would consider themselves discerning. Nobody considers themselves a dope. Nobody thinks that they are vulnerable. And you wonder who would admit that they are not. But in the canon of Scripture in Paul's day, God was still revealing his word. It was still being written down. And there were, I'm sure, no shortage of teachers who tried to come along and say, well, I have a word from God. I have something you need to hear. I have something that should be binding upon you. And clearly they tried to pass themselves off as orthodox or believable or mature. So the question had to come up a lot. Who can be trusted? What is to be believed? And these were difficult questions as the apostles began to pass off the scene. Who do we believe anymore? And sometimes, as we see in our text, Paul would give an instruction, a command, and we're often left to wonder, I wonder what the background was behind that. Did somebody from that church write a question? Is he answering it? Was there a problem in that church and Paul had heard about it from somebody who had visited there? What was the issue? Sometimes I'm very thankful that things are left in general terms so that we don't say, well, that doesn't apply to us. But we say, no, we need discernment. We need to be careful to abstain from every form of evil. So what we're talking about today is something that is very important for you and for your church, that we are discerning. The integrity of God's word was to be attended to, vigilant over. It still is to be protected, defended. The following exhortations that were in this list, and especially in verses 19 through 22, were to protect the body from master manipulators, those who would twist and distort, those who were very good at spiritual fraud. Discernment, the duty of every believer. I cannot tell you the number of times out in California this last week I heard the expression, my truth. I heard it on the radio. I heard it in people that I talked to. Sadly, even a number of Christians seem to have picked up that terminology, and sometimes they talk about my truth, and I've had to say a couple times this week, you know that thing you just mentioned? That's not in the Bible. I had somebody tell me, really? Yep, that's not anywhere in the Bible. There are wolves aplenty out there. There are times where truth is mixed with error and lies abound. There are many reasons why we should be discerning. There are many ways that we should be exposing, not just walking away from it, but exposing error from the truth. And so this idea of discernment needs to be cultivated in the body of Christ today. Under that, let's use this point. Point A, maintain a willingness to know what God truly says. Maintain a willingness to know what God truly says. At the time that Paul wrote this, again, the Holy Spirit is still revealing his holy will. He's still giving revelation to prophets, to apostles. There were some who were in the church who had this gift of prophecy, and there were times that were going to be coming when God's record was complete, that it was finished, the final mark of ink was put down, and as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:8, that the prophecies would be set aside, would pass away. Now, when we talk about prophecy, and sometimes there's a question, well, how is that used? There are times like in Acts 11, verse 28, where a man by the name of Agabus was given a word from the Lord to tell that there was a time of great famine that was coming. And then Acts goes on to tell us that this was accomplished in the days of Claudius. You get a couple chapters later in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, where it's a little different, where there is some present command, where the Lord spoke and said, set aside these men for the work that I'm calling them to do. So clearly, sometimes it had a future telling, a foretelling, and most often a forthtelling, a declaration. Can you imagine how that with the New Testament not being complete, people not having a written copy in their hand where they could say, you know what, let me check you out on that. What was it you just said? Yes, that's in there. That's what he said. Okay, go ahead. Without being able to have that at our disposal, how Satan could use some pretty clever people, some hucksters, to go and manipulate the churches and introduce things that would actually divide them, that would lessen their testimony. Some slick-speaking wannabe would come out and say, the Lord told me. And how would people know any differently? What should you do? Should you believe every word? Oh, please don't. Don't even believe every word out of my mouth. Have your Bible open and believe it. Some of you know that every once in a while I have the gift of joking or sarcasm or provoking or something, and the only time I should ever be believed is in the pulpit. But should we believe every word, or should we deny that God is using his word? Well, the Thessalonians were not to quench the Spirit, to extinguish the Spirit. As men were being used of God, moved, borne along by the Holy Spirit to write down Scripture, people were not to despise, or literally the idea of to disdain that was from God, what the apostles were saying, what the prophets were saying. But obviously, this exhortation that we have in before us, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, has a little different application and meaning for us today as it did those who were listening as the Word of God was still being written. And now we have the full formation, the canon of God's Word. I hope you have a healthy appetite today for God's Word. I hope you have some maybe favorite teachers. But even among those that you might listen to on the radio, and that list is shrinking, and favored authors, don't believe everything that they say. Be discerning. I, frankly, and I'm sure Pastor Smith and others would say, I've got books on my shelf that on this book of the Bible, this guy is very well written. On this, you need to be careful. He's got a little different view on creation. We have to be discerning. But I'll tell you this, that no one that you hear or read is receiving anything new from the Lord. How's that for a blanket statement? All preaching has to be from the Word of God. We're to proclaim what He has given. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. It is to be firmly based on the written Word of God. And I'm even careful and concerned when people say, well, the Lord told me. From what verse did you get that? We have to be very careful that we don't get into a kind of a mysticism that in the charismatic movement, I hear things that, but where is that in God's Word? I'll give you a couple off-the-wall examples, okay, that'll make me look a lot more orthodox. Many years ago, while I was still pastoring in California, during my lunch hour one time, I was listening to the Paul and Jan Kraut show. How's that? And they had a prosperity gospel preacher on there, a well-known evangelist who's still plying his trade today. And they were swallowing up every little thing that he had to say. And I do a pretty good impersonation of him. And he said, and I can tell you that Adam could fly like a bird and swim like a fish. And they were eating that up. Really? Yes. Where do you get that? Well, from Genesis, it says that Adam had dominion. And he said, and Adam could do everything that he said he had dominion over could do. And they thought that was deep. That is tremendously shallow and not in God's Word. On another occasion, I was watching a service, and somebody came, and Jimmy Swaggart was slain in the spirit, okay? And while he's supposed to be unconscious on the floor, one man gets up and he says, this lady speaks in tongues, and the man gets up, he says, God says that because of a person being a lady preacher, sometimes people doubt them, and we are not to ever question anything that any woman preacher says from this day on. That's a blanket approval right there. Where's that in God's Word? And not to be outdone, as a lot of these things are kind of like a bigger and better show, somebody else spoke in tongues and then interpreted for themselves and said, God just said to me that when Jimmy Swaggart gets off the floor, he will go into an arena filled with however many thousands of people, and he will know the thoughts and minds of everybody all at the same time. And not anybody questioned that. Not anybody got up that I could tell and walked out. Be discerning. Any variation from the Word of God means it's not from the Lord. Biblical preaching is preaching from the Bible, not reading into it what is not there. Consider also that Christians in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, are to be filled by the Spirit. Paul could be warning against grieving the Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, or quenching the fire of his work by living in sin, by living without the Spirit's controlling or convicting power. But I'll tell you this, that since you and I have the completed Word of God, that blessed volume in our hands, we are not to be listening for voices. We are not to be looking for visions, whether it's Joseph Smith or some charismatic preacher. But the other extreme that can be created is this mindset. You can't teach me anything. I have the truth. Be learning, be careful, be discerning. Maintain a willingness to know what God truly says. Secondly, be sure that what you receive is what God gave. Be sure that what you receive is what God gave. You may be gullible by personality, and I feast on people like you when I'm talking to you, but we must not be spiritually gullible. I had a time when I was out with my family and something came up that was kind of an off-the-wall thing. Kind of like this, when I was checking one of my boxes that I was bringing back on the airplane, and they said, at the counter, "What is in the box?" And I said, "Onions and a Bible." And yeah, I said, "You can serve at that desk for 20 more years and you will never hear that combination. That box has onions and my father's Bible." There you go. But on another occasion, somebody had said something just really that, like, you think, "I'll never hear that again." And I said, "You know, it's the fourth time I've heard that today." And they said, "Really?" I said, "No, that's what makes it funny." But they didn't quite get that. Be sure that what you receive is what God gives. 1 John 4:1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out in the world." So was discernment a gift of God that was given to some people? Yes. In a certain sense, it was technically a gift, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. It is also, in some sense, the responsibility of all believers to study the Word of God and test things by the Word of God. What is it that we are to actually test? Everything. Every teaching. Satan loves to distort. Satan loves to disturb the church by his distortions. And all that is said about God's Word is to be analyzed by and tested by what? God's Word. And so if I stand up before you and say, "I'm going to share something with you you have never heard before," your spider sense should be tingling or something, right? You should say, careful now. Some people were saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, "There is peace and security." He says, be careful when people say peace and security and sudden destruction comes. We desire to remain open to all that is in God's Word and closed to all else that Satan would introduce that is not given in this message. We desire that. We're to test the teaching to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. The believers were told in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, judge those inside the church. In fact, when Paul's writing to Timothy and other places, it makes it very clear that some of these false teachers had entered the church. You may respect some conservative author, teacher. You can't put them on a pedestal without checking them out according to the Word of God. And no matter who you mention that you say, "Oh, I think that they're flawless, they're experts," I can probably point out some area that they missed the boat. The only people that serve it to you straight are Pastor Smith and me. And sometimes I wonder about him. I'm just telling you. What does it mean in 1 Timothy 4:1 where it says about deceitful spirits and teachings of demons? Well, Jimmy Swaggart has a son. Isn't that exciting? And his son, Donnie Swaggart, says that that applies to those who preach from anything but the King James Bible. Read that online this week. No, it speaks of those who tamper with the Word of God, who lead anything that leads away from the message, the authentic gospel, the true message of Jesus Christ and apostolic doctrine. The truth is this: false teachers don't have horns, and they don't look mean. They appear as orthodox, as convincing. Paul warned us about them when he says, false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise to his servants also if they disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will be according to their deeds. Point C, avoid all spiritual lies as devilish and dangerous. Avoid all spiritual lies as devilish and dangerous. There's no middle ground. We can't say, well, it's not in God's Word, it's not orthodox, but it's still good. What do we do with the garbage that doesn't pass the test of orthodoxy in God's word? What we do with that which does not line up with truth is that we reject it as falsehood. Do you have a method for testing milk that you're not sure if it's gone bad or not? Do you sniff it? Do you taste it? And if it's gone sour, do you think, you know, I think I have a recipe for there's still some good way to use soured milk. I don't think so. I was thinking that several years ago, my youngest son reminds me of this story from time to time, that several years ago on a Sunday morning, I gave, you know, put milk on the kids' cereal, and Sterling said, "This doesn't taste right." "Ah, stop complaining and eat it." And he did. And then it was my turn. It was, "Oh, yeah, this has gone bad." That's what you do. Make your kids drink it before you do. That's a good plan right there. But we desire a church that is unified in the Spirit, that is teaching, that is testing all things in biblical discernment. Grow in knowledge. Grow in discernment. Remember, as Paul says, solid food is for the mature. And then he has a comma there. Well, he didn't put the comma in. We have. But solid food is for the mature. Can you be more specific? Yes. Here's another subset of mature. For those who have had their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So I'm not interested just in your mom sense. You say, you know what? That doesn't sound right. I'm not putting that down, because I've seen mom sense come up with some pretty good things. Okay. I'm not just talking about common sense, which is not real common anymore. What we are talking about is biblical discernment that says, I don't mean to offend you, but that doesn't line up with Scripture. I don't believe you. I had somebody ask me this week, "You don't believe me?" "No, I don't." "No, I'm sorry." We aren't all Christians. As Christians, we're not always as discerning as we ought to be, are we? The immature, the Bible says, are dull of hearing, and thereby they're clueless in Columbus as to how to distinguish good from evil. That's not the kind of church that we're looking for. Those who have their discernment, as the Scripture says, trained, are skilled in applying the Word of God to life situations. So I'm not interested just in the fact that you could say, I have great sections of Scripture memorized. Many years ago, my wife might remember, as we were in a church in Fresno, California, and a guy came through, and I'm a pastor, my marriage is breaking up, and I need some money, and I'm wanting to go to Sacramento. Okay. What's there? Your wife is there? You're going to try to put this back? No, there's a bridge that I was saved on. I want to go out there and seek the will of God on that bridge. There are a lot of things that are just mystical and some things that are mental. But we are to have our discernment trained so where we test things by the Word of God, especially when somebody says, "This that I'm telling you comes from the Word of God," and it doesn't come from God's Word. We can't afford, as Christians in 2021, to have our ears turned away from the truth unto fables, as Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. We're living in days of apostasy. Pastor, you believe you're living in the last days? I do. I do. And we're going to find some people that do total abandonment of doctrinal truth, but a lot more we're going to see people say, "Well, what it really means, I'm still a preacher of the Word of God," until you find out they don't believe in creation, they don't believe in the deity of Christ, they have surrendered fundamental doctrines of the Word of God. And I'll go out on a line, since I'm doing generalities today, and might as well stay in that most pastors in mainline denominational churches that have received liberal truth-denying educations Many of them embrace a theology that willfully questions the biblical record. I'm telling you to be discerning and question things, but test them against what we know, what is the Word of God. What I'm also telling you is there are some that they think they're being discerning by coming to the Word of God with their magical little scissors and trim out. They say, well, that's not for today. That didn't happen quite that way. That's not what that means. They have a trimmed down Bible. You know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8? Paul talks about those who oppose the truth. Well, they must not be very educated. Oh, many of them have educations that are far more than mine. But you know what else? In 2 Timothy 3:7, it says that they are ever learning, but what? Never able to come, do you know the rest of it? To a knowledge of the truth. They don't have a lock on salvation. They study things about the Bible, things that puzzle them, things that don't seem true. That's impossible. Nobody really believes that. Don't you want to hear somebody get up and preach who doesn't believe God's word? No. Their books sell well in a world of spiritually blinded souls. The problem is not that they are uneducated, it's that their truth does not line up with God's truth. Learning, by the way, does not reverse lostness. We want you to get your training. We want you to be educated, but all the time grounded in the Word of God. So that young people, especially those who are in colleges, so that when you are listening to somebody, you say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go down that road with you. I will get the best grade I can in this class, but that's not true. How do you know that? Because God's word says elsewise. They may even exhibit zeal in their religious practice, but Romans chapter 10, you're not reading that tonight, are you? No, that's next week. Romans 10, 1 and 2 says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Speaking of his brethren, Israel. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they do not submit to God's righteousness. Wow, Paul had them figured out. Paul had them nailed down center. They had zeal, they had their phylacteries, they had the whole act going on. They looked austere and they said, God. Okay, they had all the look and sound of orthodoxy. He says, they have a knowledge of, but not according to the truth. The salvation that they were looking for was self-righteousness, self-salvation. It wasn't the Lord's righteousness. So when God sends his only begotten Son and the Lord Jesus Christ comes perfectly revealing the Father, they would have none of that. He didn't appeal to them. He didn't fit in their theology. He didn't promote their authority. They weren't saved. But they were popular in their day. And we have some that are very popular and have mega churches today. But their adulation and their praise will not last. And the believer who is discerning would rather hear their Heavenly Father say, well done, good and faithful servant, than to have some people say, you are real popular. Would you be on my talk show host program this day? Revelation 22:18 stands as a clear warning to all who would tamper with the truth. Listen, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Bob Meyer, you said just before the service, you heard this week, what percentage of pastors preach from the Old Testament? 15%. And what percentage preach from the book of Habakkuk? maybe 1%. Discernment is important to us having something to declare, to preaching eternal truth. The gospel is not to be tampered with. The bodily resurrection of Christ, the authority of Scripture, the fact that he is literally, physically returning in the clouds for his church, that is not to be denied or tampered with. You can't come to the resurrection of Christ and say, well, it wasn't bodily, it was a spiritual thing. Years ago, I had just moved to Ohio, heard a guy say that Easter, the Resurrection Sunday, is important for what it means to you, but he didn't literally rise from the dead. I pity all those who made the effort to go to that church that day. This is a life and death matter. A life and death matter. Listen to this sobering message from Revelation 22. I am coming and soon bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, so they may enter the city by its gates. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. In Paul's day, they had to deal with things like Gnosticism and asceticism and other isms. Today, we deal with smiling snakes and deceiving dogs. Jesus is coming again. He's going to sort out this mess, amen? And we will see his bride, the church that remains. It will be given pure robes of white. Those who love the lies that are not in this word of God are going to go to hell right along with those who preach those lies. Those who love the Lord desire to grow in discernment. Maybe when you were a new believer, you were a babe in Christ, you fell for things, and then later on you found out, oh, that's not what the word of God says. Oh, okay. But you were growing. You went from milk, hopefully, to meat. Hopefully you study God's word. Hopefully even what is preached from this pulpit, you go home and study. Is that what it says? The call to every believer by grace is clear. And I think it's in your bulletin. Do not be conformed, Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by, and say those next five words with me, by testing you may discern. Let's say it again. By testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray and then we'll close with the final song. Gracious Savior, thank you for leading someone to plainly give us the simple truth of the gospel one day. Thank you for making us alive to hear it. Thank you for enabling us to receive faith, to accept it. Salvation is all of you. Help us to have this mind in ourselves, which is yours by Christ Jesus. May the word work on us today and transform us. And we pray that you would guard us from every subtle influence, all false doctrine that is meant to rob us of hope and enslave to fear. May it be said of us what was said of the Berean believers and mentioned earlier, that they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily, whether as if to find these things were so. We can't stand for truth if we don't know truth, if we don't love truth. And when the tempter says to us, as he did to Eve, did God actually say? Help us to boldly say, as Isaiah said, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Thank you for guiding our minds and our hearts with truth against error. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.